Thank you so much, and now let's go and let's study the scriptures together. Let's go into the scriptures. Today we're reading Parshat Yitro, Exodus chapter 18 through chapter 20. It is a very interesting chapter of the Torah. It is so much in there. I had a difficult time to pick one theme from this because it's so large, so big, so huge, so important for us. Today I would like to speak about a very important topic for us, the Lord who is not silent. Let's say it together, the Lord who is not silent. I mean, you can say it's so simple. I know you know already, but let us repeat again the same thing. So this is very important for us today, when there are so many different voices around, so much information around us. And I believe we need to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord, how to know His voice. So let's go to the Torah chapter, and let's read Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. So we will read for now only one verse. Only one for now. And later we'll read all chapter 18. So Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, Amen. I want to stop here for a moment. Because even this very idea in modern Judaism seems foreign, so far from people. Many Torah teachers indicate that the Lord spoke in ancient times through the prophets or through Moses because he was the greatest prophet. And today he speaks only through Talmudic literature or through the tzaddiks, the special and righteous rabbis. But he never speaks by his voice to us anymore. This is an idea of... Thank you, Elizabeth. Elizabeth knows how he speaks. Yeah. Probably one of the most dangerous and widespread theories in Judaism and Christianity today, one of the most dangerous, that God is far away in heaven, so far. And we are here, sinners, far away from Him on this earth. And therefore, He's busy with other global problems. He's so busy. And we cannot have communication with Him. Thus, the Lord becomes a distant and cold universal being. For many people, this is the truth. For many people on this earth. And for many religious people too. But the entire Tanakh, Holy Scriptures, the Bible, tells us about the most important thing, the most important theme in the Scriptures, about the living relationships between God and the people, the Lord Almighty and us. This is a very important topic in the Scriptures, from Genesis until Revelation, through all the Scriptures. God's fellowship with man is a central theme in the Bible. And I would like to read from Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Please open with me and let's read also one verse for now. We know why Adam was created and what privilege he had. 3:8. So here's the Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden together. They heard the voice of Adonai, God, walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. Can you imagine this picture here? They heard the voice of Adonai, God, walking in the garden. Him walking in the garden. For what reason? The reason was the fellowship with them together. Adam was created to communicate with God Almighty. I want to mention one interesting detail from the book of Genesis. Actually, Genesis 3:8, the same. So the Lord walking. Let's say together, the Lord walking. It's so important and interesting idea because many people read this passage as an allegory. You know, the presence of the Lord was there and it's just an allegory. It's nothing more. It's a beautiful story. So we can know that the Lord was there somehow. We know how. We don't know how. Because we know that Father, the Lord, is the Spirit, and nobody can see Him and remain alive. Nobody. He's the Spirit. But we can see in the scriptures, in here, and many other scriptures, other passages from the scriptures, that the Lord came to people in the physical body so many times in the scriptures, communicated with them, and walked among them. He came to Abraham, He came to Moses, He came to Adam, so He was with them in the body. And we as Messianic believers know who that was. It was the Messiah, Yeshua. I would like to read from John, Yohanan, chapter 1, verse 1 and 3, and also verse 14. A very interesting idea here. John, Yohanan, chapter 1, verse 1 and 3. In the beginning was the Word. So who was in the beginning? Was the Word. Can you imagine this picture? When mother of Yeshua held him in her hands, actually he held her by his life and this earth. When he walked on water, they were amazed by this miracle, but this was not a miracle for him. He holds the earth by his power and his presence. Something different here. Grasp this idea. In the beginning was the Word. The Word with God was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through Him. And apart from Him, nothing was made that has come into being. So, who was that Word? In verse 14, the same chapter. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. We looked upon His glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yeshua, the Messiah. The Word of God, the beginning of creation. The one and only Son who was born. And we also know that Yeshua died for us, was resurrected, and today He is alive. Unfortunately, many people live as if Yeshua had just died. But fortunately, He is alive forever and ever. And you know, His tomb is empty. He's not there anymore. He's alive. Amen. And He not only can, but He also wants to speak with each one of us. It is His desire. He wants to lead us to direct our lives today, because He's risen, He's alive for us today. So now let's read this Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, but now let's read it with faith, with different perspective. That this is not just an allegory or beautiful story, but it is the truth and Word from the Lord to us. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, the same verse. And God spoke all these words, saying. So, the Lord spoke. How? If it's not enough for us, how He spoke? Saying. So He has a mouth, He can speak to us. He has a voice. Let's look at a few examples of how the Lord speaks to us today. And it's not everything, because probably wouldn't have enough 3 hours we'll have here, but it'll be much longer. But let's go together. So first, with the voice, as in the case of Moses, he can speak with his voice. He's alive. He can do that. The second way, through the scriptures. Scriptures are holy. This is the words from the Lord. And the Lord can speak to us through the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for restoration. For restoration. Thank you, Brian, for your message to us today. The Lord can restore through the scriptures. And for training in righteousness. The Lord can speak through the scriptures to us. He wants to speak to us through the scriptures. Third way, in the Holy Spirit. When we pray, we can feel His direction in our lives and thoughts. He can talk to us. I remember the weirdest moments when the Lord spoke to me. One time it was in the shower. One time I ate something like, I remember I ate French fries. Yeah, I remember even what I ate. I mean, this French fries stuck in my throat at that moment when I heard His voice. So you will never forget when He's speaking to you. He can speak. He's alive. He's present here in this place. Can you imagine? It's not just the gathering. It is the holy place. The Lord promised when two or three come together in My name, I will be with them. How? In the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. He can talk to us. John chapter 14, verse 16. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, so He may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold Him or know Him. You know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you in the Holy Spirit. He is here with us. And the fourth way, and today I would like to emphasize this point and read a whole chapter to talk about this fourth way. Through the people around us. Can you turn to somebody and say, Shabbat Shalom? I'm glad to see you here. I'm happy to see you smile through this mask. Yeah, thank you for wearing this mask. It's so important for us to be here together. So, at the very beginning of today's Torah chapter, Exodus chapter 18, let's open Exodus chapter 18, and I promise you to read almost all chapter today. We see how Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, comes to him and gives him very important instruction and advice in the Exodus chapter 18. So I would like to start from verse 5. So Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, so this one, not somebody else, but exactly this one, father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife, Moses' sons and his wife, to Moses, into the wilderness where he was encamped at the mountain of God. So we know the next verses. After Moses told him about all the miracles that the God of Israel has done for his people, Jethro makes sacrifices and praises to the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he really believed in the Lord. He said, yes, the Lord is mighty, almighty. And we can read it in verse 11. Now I know that Adonai is greater than all gods, since they had acted arrogantly against him. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, presented a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. Aaron also came along with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. What a picture here. He praised the Lord. He said, yes, the Lord God of Israel, He is almighty. He is the biggest of all. He can do all the miracles. So let's read verse 13 and until the end. So because here the fun begins, the story begins, the most important part. Verse 13. The next day after sacrifice, after saying the Lord is mighty, that He did great miracles, the next day Moses said to judge the people, and they stood around Moses from morning till evening. Think about it. It was in a desert. From morning till evening, it's not an hour of service. Yeah, it's much longer. It is not comfortable chairs, I think. So it's not our condition there. What do you think? Would be good to have air conditioner and the same as in DMV office, you know, sit there. Tutu, number 34. Come to window number one. It was nothing like that. It was really difficult, really hard. Then Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people. He said, "What's this you are doing to the people? Why sit by yourself alone with all the people standing around from morning until evening?" Verse 15. Moses answered his father-in-law, "It's because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have an issue, it comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor. So I make them understand God's statutes and his laws." Verse 17. You would think Moses' father-in-law would say, "Great, Moses, you're a great minister. What a miracle." Verse 17. You know, oh, there's father-in-law. It's always a problem, yeah? But Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you're doing is no good. You will surely wear yourself out, as well as these people who are with you. Because the task is too heavy for you, you cannot do it alone, by yourself. Now listen to my voice. I will give you advice, and may God be with you. You represent the people before God and bring their cases to God." And verse 21. "But you should seek out capable men out of all the people, men who fear God, men of truth, who hate bribery." Is it possible? What do you think? Yeah, I think so, yeah. "Appoint them to be rulers over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Let them judge the people all the time. Then let every major case be brought to you, but every minor case they can judge for themselves. Make it easier for yourselves, as they bear the burden with you." Verse 23, the key verse here. "If you do this thing as God so commands you, then you will be able to endure. And all these people will go to their places in shalom." So you take this advice, you will not have endurance, and you won't have peace, shalom, in people's hearts. And verse 24, it's an amazing verse. It's an amazing verse. Remember, father-in-law and son-in-law, yeah, together. Verse 24, "So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said." What a great story. He listened everything, and he obeyed. So Jethro becomes a witness to the ministry of Moses. He sees how Moses serves his people from morning till evening, till night, sacrificing everything for the good of Israel. It was time of sacrifice for Moses. He gave everything, all his heart, his time, his might, his power, his energy. He gave to the Lord and to the people of Israel. What a wonderful picture here. What an amazing ministry here. For Moses and the people of Israel, it looked like a great dedication, zeal, a sacrificial ministry in the name of the Lord from morning till night in fire for the Lord. But in fact, Jethro saw a great danger that none of Israelites, not even Moses himself, could see. Jethro saw something. He saw dangers in this ministry. After all the miracles, the victory over the Amalekites in the Exodus chapter 17, we can read about great victory there. After all the difficulties of the path in the desert, the people of Israel were in a very difficult situation again, one more time in chapter 18. Once again on the verge of destruction. Very interesting. And this time, it was not the rebellion of the Jewish people. It was not the reason. Or external enemies. It was not the enemies around Israel. But then wise ministry of Moses was the problem for Moses and for people of Israel. Who can imagine? Once again, well, I would like to capture your attention here. At the moment, at the very moment when Moses sacrificed everything and was completely sure that he was serving God with all his might. He was sure that he's serving the Lord with all his heart. And he was serving the Lord for sure. Moses was on the verge of fatigue, including the entire people of Israel. Who can imagine this story? So verse 17 and verse 18, this is confirmation for my words here. But Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is no good." Verse 18, "You will surely wear yourself out, as well as these people who are with you. Because the task is too heavy for you, you cannot do it alone, by yourself." This word, wear yourself out, wear, this verb also can be translated as sink or drop down, wither, fail, fade, decay, and also deteriorate. The same words. When I read in the Greek translation, in the Septuagint, because it's very interesting translation of 70s, in this place of scripture, this word in Greek even more stronger. It means destruction. So if you read in Septuagint, you can read this way. You will be destroyed by destruction as well as these people who are with you. You will be destroyed by destruction. In the Septuagint, several passages are translated by the same word, destruction. One of them is an Isaiah chapter 24, verse 3. The land will be utterly emptied and totally plundered. The same word is using there. So, can you imagine that Moses, in the midst of his success, in his ministry, never even imagined that he could be the source of destruction for Israel, withering out his people? And the reason for this is his inability to see and hear the Lord, or maybe to understand his words. He wasn't able to see. He was in ministry. He was in fire. He was super tired from morning till night, every day. And people were super unhappy. More he gets tired, more people gets unhappy. More he serves, less results. So interesting story. Very interesting story. So here's the lesson. We are talking about the great Moshe Rabbeinu, the great Moses, our teacher, the greatest prophets of Israel, the leader and the greatest prophet of our people, the greatest one. He had very close relationships with the Lord, spoke with him face to face, heard the voice of God, and was able to perform the greatest miracle. He had extraordinary wisdom. But at the same time, we must not forget that no matter how great he was an ordinary person with human limits. He was only person, only the man. It reminds me of the story when Yeshua slept in the boat. You remember this story? He was tired. Scripture said he was tired. Even Yeshua, in his body, manly body, he was tired. I don't know why the Lord did not personally show him this problem, this huge problem. Or most likely, he was not able to hear the Lord in that situation. Probably he was not aware what the Lord wants to tell him, to say to him. But the Lord chose a very unusual way how to speak into the life of Moses and save all his people. He chose for this a relative, or rather Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. So he was the voice of the Lord, the mouth of the Lord to Moses. And through him, the Lord saved all the nation of Israel. So let's compare a little bit Moses and Jethro. Let's put them in the scale and look at them. First, Jethro. He is a priest of Midian, not even a Jew. I do not know what gods he worshipped. I don't know. It's not obvious. He was priest there, but we don't know what gods he worshipped. seems to me many gods, because he said, I see that your God is much more stronger than other gods. So which means that he knew about other gods too. What kind of person he was? There are many explanations in the Jewish tradition. I know that a lot of things you can read there. But I prefer to build my faith on the scriptures, not on the Jewish tradition. So I would like to read in the scriptures. And the Bible does not say much about the life of Jethro. Not many, really small. So Moses, from another hand, he's an adopted son of Pharaoh, a highly educated in Egyptian culture, the son of Pharaoh. One can say that he is a man from high society, also in the spiritual ground. He is a great prophet who communicated with God face to face, who performed many wonders and signs, a successful leader of several million people. He led them, several million people. His name thundered all over the earth. Moses, he was a famous people at the time. He was very famous and popular at the time. Not always in his own nation, but around the world he was popular. So when we compare these two people, Jethro and Moses, we can ask ourselves a question. Who should teach and listen to whom? Who is bigger? Of course, Moses. Who is anointed? Of course, Moses. Jethro, for sure, father-in-law, but you know how it in some families. The last you want to hear, father-in-law, the last one on this earth. But it's not good. Better to listen, you see. But look what a humility Moses shows, what meekness before Jethro. So Moses needed the advice and gained the ability to hear the Lord speaking through the mouth of Jethro. It was a miracle from the Lord. So what an interesting story. Let's take some lessons for us today. The same can happen in our lives, the same story. Very often defeat and disappointment can come right at the peak of our success. Right at the peak. This is the moment when disappointment can come. What we may regard as success and victory, a great sacrifice to God, can become a trap for us. The same very thing as in a story in Moses. And even if we have a lot of experience and knowledge, we may not hear because of our experience and knowledge. We may not hear the warning voice of God, or not pay attention when the Lord warns us, because we have experience, we know how to do. We do it best, better than everybody else. We lead a couple million people through the Red Sea. We know how to do that. This is why the Bible calls us to humility. Therefore, we see the example of Moses, who was humble in spirit and open to correction, to the advice of other people, and even to his father-in-law. I think they had great relationship. So I'm joking here. You need to understand, it's a joke. They had perfect relationships in family. Never had any problems. Always good with father-in-law and mother-in-law. No problem. Yeah. So we need Jethro. We need Jethro. We need Jethro. People through whom the Lord himself can speak into our lives. And it doesn't matter how good we can hear the voice of the Lord in our spirit or through the scriptures. We need Jethro. We need people who can speak into us, into our lives. And we need humility to be able to hear the voice of God through the people he sends to us during our success or in the difficulties of our lives. And you know what? Sometimes we don't want to hear the voice of the Lord from other people, through other people. Sometimes it's tough. Jethro, what are you telling me? So am I wrong? You see my commitment. You see my life. I'm serving to so many people. I don't want to hear you. I'm good. The Lord knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart. This is why he sent you, Jethro. Because he knows your heart. He knows you're really honest. Because Moses was honest. It was not a sin. It was not a sinful moment. Please think about it. Moses was not in sin. He was in the ministry. But the Lord knows his heart. I would like to read a couple places of Scripture. It's Proverbs chapter 15. Also, I want to tell you something. Sometimes these are completely unexpected people whom we do not expect to hear from. The Lord can send us very unexpected people. So Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Plans fail when there is no counsel. Plans fail when there is no counsel. But with many advisors, they succeed. Is it simple enough? I think so. Proverbs 24, verse 5 and 6, even more simple. A wise man is strong. We think about wise man who knows everything, yeah? Who knows everything, for sure, he's strong. And the man of knowledge becomes even stronger. How? In verse 6, we can know an answer. Who is the wise man? Who is man wise? For with wise advice, you wage war, and in many counselors, there is victory. This is who is wise, who is listening to people around you, who is able to hear the Lord and people and receive from the Lord his words. Yeah. And in the end, I would like to read from Acts chapter 15, verse 6 and 7. Here we know the story, Acts chapter 15, verse 6 and 7. This story when the Lord, he came to Gentiles, and people from other nations start to receive him, and they were immersed in the Holy Spirit. And some part of Jewish community at that time, from Pharisees, they said that it's impossible. Gentiles supposed to become a Jews, and only then they can come to faith in Yeshua. So, and they had a lot of arguments and problems at the first community. So they came together. Verse 6. The emissaries and elders were gathered together to examine this issue, this very issue, how people from another nation can be immersed in the Holy Spirit without receiving Judaism and become a Jew. How it is possible? It is impossible. For them it wasn't possible at that time. Verse 7. After much debate, let's say together, much debate. I don't think it was an hour debate. It was much debate. You know, two Jews, three opinions. It was really much debate. Really much. Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God chose from among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the message of the good news and believe." It was Peter who first came to Gentiles, and they accepted Yeshua and were immersed in the Holy Spirit. So, what an idea here. Even though the Lord chose Peter, we can see that early Messianic believers made a collective decision with a multitude of counsel. They were open to the voice of the Lord. They were open to the voice of the Lord. They were open to the Holy Spirit, so he can talk to them. They were open to the scriptures, because if you read carefully, they included scriptures. They spoke from the scriptures a lot. But also they were open to counsel, to fellowship. They were open to each other to receive wisdom from the Lord. It is very important. And because of their ability to hear the voice of the Lord, because of their readiness to obey him, because of their humility and teamwork, today we have so many people from all the nations of the world who are together with the Jewish believers, are part of the body of Messiah because of their ability to hear the voice of the Lord. Even the decision was against their rules at the time. They were able to hear the voice of the Lord together. I would like to conclude with the words from today's Torah chapter, Exodus 19:5. Let's read this, I promise you, the last place from the scriptures for today. Exodus 19:5. The Lord is speaking to his people, to us. Now then, if you listen closely to my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among all people, for all the earth is mine. Listen closely to my voice and keep my covenant is the key. Is the key with the relationship with the Lord. That's why Yeshua so often speaks in the scriptures, he who has ears, let him hear. Let him hear. So I urge you to listen. Ask the Lord to speak to you in your heart, in the scriptures, through people around you, to direct you, to correct you, and to teach you. Amen. Amen. So, Ina, I would like to invite Ina. So, in the end, I would like to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider it to be a blessing to Beth Israel. I will close with Aaron's blessing, as we normally do at Beth Israel. So, let's stand together and receive this prayer from the Lord. Yevarechecha Adonai. Veishmerecha, Yaher Adonai panavelecha, vihunecha, Isa Adonai panavelecha, veyasem lecha, shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.